Hi.
Hi, you guys. Hi.
Been a long day?
It's all
not
right.
Really.
Not really. It's all right. We're doing okay.
This is really close.
This is hello.
Hello.
Okay, that's good.
Welcome.
Hello, welcome everyone.
Thank you.
Did you study for your test? Great. Please open up page 32.
Okay, I didn't study.
I'm warm up the room.
Okay, we are going to get started with Johanna back here.
Hi, Michael. Can you talk a little bit about the new challenges of this season with the new element in the water and shooting on the boat, and also maybe her relationships with different characters, especially with Alicia?
Well, this season put us in an entirely different environment, on the ocean, in a boat, in the elements, and none of us are seafarers except for his character. But, you know, it's been very exciting for us. It offered us a lot of new challenges. Just as actors, you know, just to work with. There's a lot of water safety stuff we had to do. There's a whole water safety team and new things we've had to learn to do. And you know, we like the challenge a lot. As far as the characters, we're all now, you know, challenged as well by being on this boat. Sort of becomes a tinderbox of emotions with seven different, you know, people with different ideas and motivations and different things that they're grappling with and trying to reconcile. As far as my relationship with my daughter, Alicia, you know, Alicia's always been the golden child, and it's usually the squeaky wheel that gets the grease as far as my son goes. So she's been, she has issues with that, but you'll start to see this season that she's a bit of a chip off the old block, and she really is like a little Madison, and I think Madison has to come to terms with that as well, that she's, you know, becoming a young woman in this apocalypse, maybe sooner than she would have had to do in a normal society.
Next question is going to go to Brian.
Hi there. The Walking Dead recently got some flack for killing off one of its lesbian characters and has had some troubles in the past killing off some actors of color. Do you think a show should have a responsibility to maintain its diversity?
Like especially with our showrunner Dave Erickson, he's expressed before that even in our universe of the Fear of the Walking Dead, it was just they cast who they thought were the best actors for the roles, and unfortunately they had to meet an early demise, and unfortunately they were also, you know, African-American, but they were also, we had other people of colors, I mean, other races as well, but of course we focus on that. But, you know, I love that there was almost a little secret in a way, knowing that I was coming into episode 5. I was like, no, that's actually not the case. I do think, of course, I think with anything, with any universe, there should be, you know, a call for diversity, of course. Hopefully, I mean, I think that it's just a conversation that needs to constantly be had. In terms of casting, but once again, we don't want to not cast because we're afraid that they're going to get killed off. So then that doesn't help the diversity problem. So I think it's just that, you know, it's like you're trying to cast the best actors for the roles. So it's a very interesting conversation to have. But I think it's a conversation that just should be on the table.
I think, you know, mostly the intent in our show was to honestly reflect the city that we lived in. And I feel like it's obviously a very ethnically diverse city. And I feel like we represented that. And as far as storytelling, we have great writers that tell really good stories. And I don't think they do it in any sort of manipulative fashion of, you know, hiring a certain type of character for, you know, attention purposes or anything, that only just to kill it off. I mean, that's not the kind of stories that we tell.
Yeah.
Jurgen? Let's go to Catalina.
Hi. From Colombia, and well, we've seen the characters crossing a line here in terms of survival, in attempting to survive. So you, how do you see that, and do you know how far would you be able to get in order to survive? Maybe now, have you think about it now that your characters have gone too far?
I don't even know exactly what is too far. I think that we just don't know unless we're we're in that situation, honestly. I think, and that's the interesting thing about these characters as well. You have no idea. We have no idea the stuff that we're made of, and that when we're at this crossroads, what we'll actually do, especially when it comes to protecting their families, protecting their best interests, their futures in some way, their dreams, their hopes, their ideals. We have no idea unless we're thrust into that situation, which is, I think, that's why it's so popular as well, because we all have these thoughts of what will we do if we're in that situation. And even I think that if we sit all in this room agree that we think that we know what we'll do, we actually don't until it actually happens.
No, I think that's why this genre is so fascinating, because you think the audience can sort of live into these sort of primal fears that we have. Like, what if we're not protected? What if society is crumbling around me? What if the government's not taking care of me? What if there's an outbreak? You know, I can't protect my family. I think that's a primal fear that we have, and to sort of get to explore that and play it out through story is a nice relief, and then you can turn it off. And you can fantasize about what you would do. I mean, I think if I was being threatened, and I might pull out a fire extinguisher, and, you know, if my life was at stake, I don't know. But it's exciting. It's an exciting story to tell, too, such a life and death stakes. You know, you really get to explore all the human values and the ethics of society and how that shifts.
Thank you.
What means playing Madison for you?
What does it mean to play Madison for me? It's for me, it's been an incredible opportunity to get to lead a show, to get to do an action show at this time. I've been fortunate in my career, and to always play complex, multidimensional women. And this is no different. I mean, she's a full-blooded woman, and she's fierce and strong and flawed, completely flawed, and she's a badass. So it's been really, really fun to play.
Adam
from the UK.
Hi. Victor, as a character, he's deliciously mysterious. How trustworthy is he? What's going through his mind at the start of season two? How would you describe this character? Because we don't know too much about him.
I think of Victor as someone who believes in things in black and white terms. I think that what he says, he means. I think that he may not reveal too much, because maybe it's about him really strategizing and also reading personalities to find out whether or not they can handle it as well. He's also someone who I think, I don't know how he values love, but I know that just what we know of him right now is that he values obligation. You do him a solid, he'll do you one. You know, so I think he's pretty clear, honestly, and I think that I'm just examining at what he's done in season one, that he was very upfront about everything, that he doesn't have a lot of gray and a lot of questionable things that he says. He says what he means. And he's amazing to play.
We'll go to Omar.
Hi, I'm Omar from Mexico. My question is, how is working with such powerful minds as Robert Kirkman and Greg Nicotero? Because, I mean, the way that they are doing television these days is just impressive. So what can you tell me about them and the way that you work with them?
Well, I mean, for us to get to be in a show with such a visionary like Robert Kirkman is incredible. and beyond that, to sort of be in this new window that he's opened up that doesn't sort of have the Bible of the comic book to be based on. It's just been just a great opportunity that he thought, you know what, there's another window to explore here. And it's been really exciting. The stories are, to me, each episode that we get just kind of, all of us, it blows us away, each one of the where this sort of earlier window, where it allows us to go in story in this short period of time, is for me very fascinating. It explores a lot of what people would naturally do, the paths they would naturally take to try to sort of reconcile what's happening with their morals and with, you know, what they know as normal behavior. And they would, you know, I think most people would strive to sort of get back to normal, to start over. When are we going to start over? Because the human spirit is so resilient. So this genre and this piece by Robert Kirkman just is so ripe with story. You know, it's so exciting to play stories in this genre because of everything you get to explore. Then you have Greg Nicotero and his team that just does phenomenal work and makes these walkers and these infected and waterlogged infected now, by the way, makes them so, just so believable and haunting and tortured in a way, you know? So it just, it's a dense, beautiful, beautiful genre to work in.
Did I talk too much?
I'm sorry, we already did that. Simon?
I saw the first couple of episodes this morning. I love Victor. He's kind of a dick, but I do.
Such a dick.
Such a massive dick. But well done.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed playing a dick.
I wanted to ask you, we know the first season was very successful. The second season is longer. It's now a successful TV show. It's got more money. It's got bigger budgets. It's got bigger storylines.
Does it feel
different doing it for the second season to how it did for six episodes in the first season? Do you feel the sort of the financial extras and the popularity that comes with that being a big...
You're the morbid, so...
I don't feel the financial differences because, you know, we still are... We're still
ambitious.
We're still very ambitious, and we have a lot of special effects in this case, having to be on the water. So I don't know. I mean, I don't understand budgets as much. I know a lot of this stuff is, a lot of things are being filmed in different states than California in the States, and then different countries now for tax breaks. And I think that's some of the motivation and where we've been sent to. But also we sort of rise to the occasion, the writers, and they're utilizing the country. And so no, I think we are, you know, right in line with where we should honestly be in a second season as far as storytelling. And I think that we as actors, I know the other actors that I speak to, it's like we're there and we're working hard, and it just feels like, you know, work to us and an amazing job to have, but it, you know.
I agree. I feel that, I don't know, I was only in the last, you know, two episodes of last season. But it feels as if, you know, more than anything, I just feel like, you know, we're in our sort of own little incubator. We're creating art, and that it just feels like we're concerned with story. And it feels like that they're all just concerned of what makes sense for this storyline, what makes sense for this episode, and what budget makes sense for it for these things to be realized. It doesn't feel like all of a sudden things are, you know, puffed up just
extravagant,
or anything like that. No, not at all.
Question from Jason.
Hello. Kim, I wanted to ask you, I feel like all the things I've seen you do recently, Fear the Walking Dead, House of Cards, Gone Girl, you always kind of bring a sense and sensibility to your characters. She can almost, all those characters can kind of see through the bullshit, I think. And I just want to know how you bring that to a character who's kind of been weak, realizing that zombies are a thing, and how you kind of keep that at space with her, or if you can have fun with it and go from there.
Is Madison like those characters? I don't understand.
I just think in all the characters that I've seen recently, you kind of have this. They see through the crap. You know, they kind of get where they're going, like as if she's a strong
no
woman.
Bullshit.
Yeah, and how do you bring that to a woman who's kind of realizing that the world's gone to hell and that there are zombies?
You know, I don't know. I just sort of, you know, this was a new genre for me to play, and you know, I was a little reticent at first just because it wasn't really a genre that I followed and was very schooled in. And then I read the script, and it was just a very relatable character, and I thought that that was the key, was to play it in all of its honesty and everything. As far as, like, Madison being a no bullshit, you know, or a bullshit detector, I think that that just comes from her being a high school counselor. So I don't know any sense of... but I think, you know, then... She's going to be very human and very flawed, too, you know, just because she is in the middle of an apocalypse, which might be a little different than the reporter, journalist in House of Cards or the detective in Gone Girl.
I'd like to add something about Kim Dickens as well.
Uh-oh.
And I think that also there's something about Kim, and looking at the thread of her work, like you say, there's something... Of course, we have to bring ourselves with our characters as well, and some part of ourselves. But there's something about just getting to know Kim that she's able to... read human behavior pretty quickly, and maybe that's a part of it as well. That's what I think about you.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. She can see through all of you right now.
Even when I was a waitress, I could spot the purse thief that came in the door. I swear to you,
really?
A couple of times, yeah, in Manhattan.
Next question is from Claudia.
Hi, I'm Claudia from Brazil. How do you see the impact of Alyssa's death and Cam's Madison's relationship with Travis and Chris? Is there any good or bad?
Sorry, how
Alyssa's love death and your
How do I see that? Is that well? The season two starts just a few hours after the finale of season one, and so we definitely. Don't gloss over that. We take that death very seriously, and we take it into season two, well into season two, and in fact, still, we contend with it. It's haunting. It haunts our characters. It's obviously would be something very devastating to Travis and to Lorenzo, to Chris. In fact, maybe, you know, forever changing them. So, you know, if you're the stepmom or the girlfriend, you know, life is different that from then on, really.
And Margaret.
Hi. Ken, my editor was wondering, I know you've been in many shows, but has this one in particular changed the way people respond to you on the street? Do you have any fan stories you could share?
Well, you know, I've, with this show, a lot more people see it than maybe some of the other ones, but they're very generous on the street, they're very excited. The fan base for The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead are very, very passionate, very mobilized, and so, you know, it's a little bit of a increase in awareness, you know, for me, but it's nice to know, you know, you want it to be shared, you want it to be seen when you do the work. And, you know, as far as other things, is they have their fan bases too, you know, Deadwood and Gone Girl and stuff like that. And, you know, it's nice. I always find that fans are just the greatest, especially for these genre pieces, and even like Deadwood is its own genre, and, you know, they're just so into it. They're so passionate, and it's fun.
Do they give you advice?
Do they give me advice? Oh, God. You know,
I get people yelling out of car doors to me just saying, don't die.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
That's so great.
I'm like, what?
That's so great.
I was wondering for you if it's impacted your sleep at all, or the gourds. We heard on the other show that some people weren't eating red meat anymore.
Oh no! I eat red meat and I sleep well. Yeah, I'm able to separate. I think I'm able to. I think we're all pretty much able to separate that out, right?
Yeah. In the beginning, like I think when I was shooting the pilot, I had a few nightmares. You know, I think my psyche was trying to sort it out what was going on. But other than that, I sleep fine.
Okay.
Kill a zombie and fall asleep.
Have a margarita.
Because I'm exhausted. Yeah.
Jose Doris, Estrellas in LA. I want to ask you about the strength and conditioning program that you may or may not have gone through this. Mercedes mentioned she was a drill sergeant of sorts.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, I don't take her class either.
I've worked out
he
with
goes
Mercedes.
Down there,
yeah,
go.
I go down there and work out with Mercedes, and she, you know, she's so sweet and beautiful, and you think she's going to be kind, and she really works you to death. Yeah.
Not for
but
me.
It's good. Not,
for,
not
me.
For you. Not for you.
Real quick, I've been asking the rest of your cast. You guys are working with Maestro Rubén Blades. I was wondering if you guys were familiar with his work in the music world, and if so, what do you think about it, and did you pick up any Spanish down there?
I'm using my Spanish. I learned a lot of Spanish. Well, I took Spanish in college, and then working in restaurants in Manhattan, you know, you use a lot of it, and it's like I use it a lot now down there. Broken, very broken.
Yeah. We use broken Spanish down there, but and it's great. But what I enjoy about being in Mexico as well is like, you know, if you just you have the attempt and they want to help you out as well, you know. So it's actually a great exchange. And yeah, I've always been very influenced by Rubén Blades and his music, and his I hate to say this because you know he's a living human being, but he's got such a legacy. Truly, he's really I'm very honored to work with him and just like. And he's always very generous with his, about his political career, how he feels about human rights. Mm-hmm. He's just an amazing man, and I think he brings all of that into this complex character of Daniel Salazar.
He's very inspiring to work with, and just to have around. He's our own personal Grammy winner, but he is. He's just so passionate about human rights, and he shares with us. He's so easy to be with, you know. He's very creative and contribute so much on set, and then we all hang out and have dinner with him, and you're like, wow, we're having dinner with Rubén Blades. He's a legend, you
exactly.
know. His dressing room is next to mine, and I actually hear him singing sometimes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a couple more minutes for a few more questions. Let's go to Adam.
Coleman, Kim talked earlier about the sort of challenges of working in the water environment. I just wondered if you could talk about that for your character, and at what point did you know you were going to be Captain of Abigail? Are you a captain? Do you know what you're doing there?
Well, as we went into season two, I had to go and do some yacht training, actually. They sent me to San Diego to be on a yacht for a day and just learn as much as I can, so I knew somewhat what I was doing, but also knowing that he was possibly the owner and not the captain, it really shows he should not know exactly everything to do. So he probably needed these seven individuals a bit more than you know he was even aware of, and the challenges. My character stays a lot in the wheelhouse, commandeering the yacht, but when I have to get into the water, it's for a really good reason, and then. He's challenged. That's all I'll say. Because the water will challenge you.
Okay, first we're going to Omar.
This question is for Kim. You work in two of the most important products and entertainment in this moment, and both are for television. So as an actress, and in general as an actress, how are you living this golden age of television?
How am I? What in the golden?
How are you living it?
I love working in television now. I mean, I think it is a golden age. I think the roles and the storytelling that's happening, television versus film, is just dense and colorful and nuanced and it's really fun to play. I've said it before. I said it's like walking around in a novel, and. It's very rewarding for me to be an actor in that medium.
Hi, I'm Sebastian from Colombia. I find your character very interesting because both are very strong. And I don't know if I'm creating a gossip, but in this second season, I think between the two characters can grow a little connection. I don't know, maybe a relationship. I don't know. Do you think that can be possible?
Anything's
cha, cha,
possible.
Cha.
Anything's
cha,
possible,
cha,
I think.
Cha. Anything's possible on cable. I think these characters, they're kindred spirits in a way. There's something that they see in each other, like they see the no bullshit aspect in each other, you know, the survivor aspect in each other, but it doesn't mean that they are in agreement, and I think they have to sort of find their way and
yeah, they have to find and wrestle to find out what is this relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What is this new relationship? Well, once again, all the relationships are being challenged on this boat in this apocalypse. And the fallout could mean many different things. You know, someone who was your son one day may be something else. It could be your adversary. You have no idea. You know what I'm saying? Because it changes everything. Everything's changed. The world's flipped upside down. So these two people who've come into this universe as being adversaries in some way, perhaps maybe they form a bond in some way that, you know, it's still, I don't know, it's up there in the universe to figure, well, and Robert Kirkman and,
yeah.
You know, Dave Erickson's mind of what it becomes.
Hi, I'm Angela Ruiz from Sevilla Online. I like your name, Coleman Domingo. I wanted to find out, is Domingo a family name?
Domingo is a family name. My father's family is from Belize and also by way of Guatemala. Yeah, so got some Central American love up in here. There we go. There we go. Yeah.
Panama.
Panama. Uh-huh. Ruben Blades country.
Wonderful.
Another question that's been asked of your castmates is The Walking Dead has a cast now that features so many well-known and established names. There's like a wish list of people that the guys behind the show want to have on the cast. If you guys could have anybody in the cast on your wish list of co-stars, who would you like to see cast in future episodes and future seasons?
I didn't know The Walking Dead. They have a wish list of who they want to put on the
well,
show?
There's a really nice list of people who are well-known and actors that they want
like
to have on the show
that
they kind of target. Is there anybody that you would like to see come in to fear The Walking Dead that you particularly like to work with or see in the cast?
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah. Johnny Depp.
Meryl Streep.
John Hamm.
And Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
We're going to need some laughs.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a long, long season.
And someone had asked before, and I thought it was interesting. Obviously, no one's safe in the Walking Dead series. If you had to die, what way would you choose to die? Have you thought about that yet?
In the Walking Dead universe, or just
right.
In your personal life?
I have not thought about that.
The character.
The character.
Yes.
How did they make their end?
Yes.
I don't want to give them any ideas because that's been around for a
long time. I don't like to think about that.
Exactly.
I don't know. Surprise me.
Mercedes wanted to swallow a grenade.
She's crazy.
I feel like someone like Victor Strand, it would have to be something so ridiculous, actually. Like, it's like, you know, with all the fights and the drama that must go on.
Like an accident.
All of a sudden, it's like he, like, steps on, like, you know, attack. And then, like, oh, it's poisonous. And
blood poisoning.
Yeah. It's like something so ridiculous.
Slip on the deck.
Slip on the deck. Oh! Like, Alicia left it wet. Oh! Exactly. Now, how about for you, Madison?
No,
you're not playing that game.
I'm playing that game.
Great.
Margaret? I was wondering what one of your most challenging scenes were that you had to shoot. What's a typical day like for you?
Well, I want to quote something that we had a conversation with Cliff Curtis about. One day he just said that, you know, every day we're playing such high stakes. We really are. We're playing life or death in every scene. And every scene has so much complexity to it. And to work at that standard all the time, it can be taxing, especially if you have an entire day and your scenes are lined up where the emotional arc is devastating. You have to be devastated for 12 hours. that's when that it's a little taxing, but you know you have to do the work. You know you need all the coverage. And so I think our show is dealing with a lot of, you know, of course there's a lot of there are infected kills and drama and chasing and things like that, all that good stuff that we need in good and action drama. But it's very character driven, and there's a lot of emotional work that we're doing, and it can be taxing. But you know, I think we're such a great team that everyone really shows up for one another because we have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all professionals. We show up. We goof around in between takes, and we like to be together. We've been sort of confined to this boat most of the time, but miraculously, we have a good time, and then we do the work. You know, then we have a good work ethic. I think for me, one of the most difficult scenes, and I agree with Coleman and Cliff, like this, we're usually playing these intense high stakes all the time, and it requires a lot of focus, and you don't get to goof off too much, you know, during the workday. But I found a scene that was very challenging for me was the scene in season one when I had to sort of smack down my son. And I just was like, I was very concerned about, I felt like I understood where it was coming from. And I didn't, and I never really think about how, not if a character's liked or anything, but how it was going to be perceived, you know, by the audience. And then, because, you know, it was abuse, you know, and, or abusive, it was physical. And the audience was just like, yes, finally, you know, like, so I understood the emotion of it. I was just a little bit timid to play it, you know, so. But it's not for me to decide. That's definitely from the writers, you know, trusting the writers.
Well, that's actually all we have time for. So thank you both.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Great questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.